Well, welcome to another episode of My Life in Football, what I call Series 4, and I'm really pleased to say the Scarlet Pimpernel, the man I've been trying to get hold of for a very long period of time, we've finally nailed him down, and it's the legend that he's Mr. Sam Wright. And Sam, I mean, how are you, first of all? And I know there's big changes in your life, especially football-wise.
I'm all good, mate, and big apologies for how long it's took to get me actually on to a
That's
Zoom.
all right, no problem at all.
The last few weeks has been manic trying to just, close everything off at Cray. It's just a funny old time really for me to be leaving the club after so many years of involvement. I'm 30 odd years now. It's not until you reflect you realise how long you've been in and around a football club. So it's been a crazy period. It's gonna be weird being out of football, especially with a few weeks left to go. It's been a emotional season coming into the ground finally down at Flamingo Park. If someone had said to me at the start of this season I would be ending the season not with Cray, I would have thought they were crazy. But these things happen and we move.
So, I mean, we'll come back to Cray later, but I mean, we literally always start off with the same sort of thing. I mean, how did a young Sam Wright get involved in this crazy world of football in the beginning? I mean, was it sort of school or was it before
I
school?
always loved football. I had an older brother, so I always played from a very young age, and often it was against him and his mates who were that a couple of years older. So it kind of you learn how to cut your teeth quite early because they didn't hold no prisoners back in the. I was growing up in the 70s. If you went and played football with the older lads, they were going to take you out, or you had to. So I played probably organised football from about 8 or 9 years old. Went through a few, two or three different youth teams, played right through, and was kind of 17 playing a bit of Saturday afternoon football, South London Alliance stuff. And a fella see me, Jim Fibbins, he was a scout for Charlton at the time, and he referred me down to Fisher, and that was how my kind of non-league journey started.
So, I mean, with school-wise, though, I mean, was you like involved in school team, or was you in sort of like teams before, like in youth side before school, or
Yeah,
where did that
I
sort
was
of thing?
in. I think I started. What was my very first team called? Max, you tested me, yeah. It's a long time ago. I think a local club called Glyndon Rangers. I think was my first organised team, and I was probably about under 10, maybe. Oh no, before that, Heathside Celtic. There was a really lovely old boy called Will. He used to run a sports shop down in Greenwich, and I can't even remember how I got involved, but I was actually playing in goal for them. So my first organised football was as a goalie for a couple of years. For the first 2 seasons, and I loved it. I was a bit of a nutty kid. I was always breaking my arms and falling off bikes, and so I suppose goalie suited me at the time. Started with Heathside Celtic, played with Glyndon Rangers, and it was I come out of goal one game that I can't remember what happened. We were short players, and he had a spare keeper, played on pitch, and had a really good game on pitch, and then I never went back in. But I always loved playing in goal. Even in training, the bloke, if the keeper gets sent off, I'd always go in. I did always love it. And I ended up playing a bit of extra football in goal as well. I'd done my cruciate at 38. And to get back quicker, I've decided it'd be safer to play in goal for some stupid reason. So, yeah.
I mean those early days. I mean, any sort of thoughts that come to mind with those early days? With plan wise, story wise.
You know what? Just loved it. Really enjoyed it. We won a London Cup when I was under 15, I think it was. I was with a team called the Reds, and we had a few like real local rivalries. I was living around kind of Woolwich, Plumpsea, Conway. One of my best mates, David Richards, his uncle was the manager of this team over in Catford, so we used to jump on a 51 and go over there. And that was probably the first decent team I played for. A lot of the teams I played for early days weren't that great. But they were a good side. We was competitive. We was all quite a little bit of ragamuffins, all a little bit naughty boys, and we just had a good team spirit. Got in a lot of fights. It only took one little spark, and everyone was in. But we were a good side. And some of the big people I played against, that are still really good mates with Andy Anser, chairman down at SC Dons. He was in the same age group as me, and his team, Southwark Sports, were our big rivals. We used to play regularly, and him, Carl Leeburn. Oh, they had a few. I think Mickey Bennett played for them. They had a few that went on to be but pro players.
Mm.
So yeah, that was me probably highlight. I mean, youth football was winning the London Cup, and then on the back of that, I ended up playing with the London representative team, and I had a shocker. I scored home goal about 5 minutes in. So yeah.
I mean, what was that like? Did you get sort of like any trials and stuff with professional clubs? And I mean, did your parents and that come and see you play as well?
Yeah, me mum was a nightmare. I actually asked her to stop coming when I was about under 12, under 13. She used to be an absolute nightmare, shouting and screaming on the sideline, having a go at the ref if you got fouled. My dad was pretty supportive, but he was a dad of the 70s and early 80s where, he did come and watch a lot of the games, and he was brilliant when I got into non-league. He loved coming to play, to watch us play in that. But I had a couple of trials. I had a trial at QPR, and a trial at Brentford. And it's strange, when you look back at trials, you just got referred into this trial game. I remember turning up at the one at QPR, and the guy said to me, "Well, where'd you play?" And I said, "Oh, I'm centre midfield. Like, I love playing in the centre, like being involved." He said, "Right, brilliant. Go left back." And I thought, "What?" I said, "Left back." I said, "I'm right footed." He went, "Yeah, go left back. Go left back." And it was literally, I played one game at left back, never played in my life. Done all right. Didn't kind of put up any trees, obviously, because I never got a deal. But and that was it. Got asked to come back for one more game. I think I played about 20 minutes of that game. They brought me on in the second half. And it weren't really like now, the kids are so structured from such a young age, aren't they? You're getting kids off our youth teams here. We lost the whole team last year at under eight. They all went off to go to pro clubs. You think at under eight, I'm not sure if I fully am invested in that side of it. I think there's a time for them to enjoy football a bit more, and it seems so serious from such a young age now.
But also as well with that, when you get teams like that, disappear or youngsters disappear, the amount of I don't know, mental strength those kids have got to have if they go to these sort of clubs and then all of a sudden it doesn't work out for them. Because especially if you say if you've got like almost the whole team going there, what's the likelihood? It's two, three, maybe going to make it or whatever else. And then how do you then get to a stage with those sort of kids to be able to sort of pick their heads up? I mean, that's just difficult in its own.
Yeah, 100%. They seem to be dropped, and kids develop at such different rates, don't they, as well? A kid at under eight, he might be just bang average. By under 12, he's grown a bit more, or he's developed into his body a bit better, and you do see those changes. And I think it is a bit of a, and maybe sometimes, it's a hard one to say because every parent wants their kids to do well, but some of the parents maybe are a little bit too, their aspirations are maybe too big too soon. And it's a tough world. And my nephew, I've just found out this week, I'm gutted for him. He's been at Gill since he was under, I think it's mad. He's been there the longest of any player they've ever had through their academy system. I think he went there from about under eight, and he's just done 2 years scholar there, and he's just been told that he's coming out. So it's a tough world. He must be in bits. I ain't even had a chance to catch up with him yet. But it is hard knock. And I think a lot of them lads, you see them drop in the non-league. And some of them never pick themselves back up.
No. I mean, when I was managing teams myself, we had a young boy, lad there that was really, really good player. And his dad came along and helped me do the coaching. And he just basically said to me, he said, look, my son's just been dropped by Tottenham. He said, and he's, you're right, if he comes over and plays for the team. I said, yeah, of course, of course he can come over and play. And he came over and that sort of first 4 months or so. And you're thinking, the dad told me he was a good player. This is just stupid, like, do you know what I mean? He's just like, you could tell that he was no interest, or not necessarily no interest, but he was struggling big style, And anyway, after that, he sort of picked up and it was just like the mustard. I mean, it was just unbelievable, And the following year went on to score 49 goals from left side of midfield, in an under 12s team, I mean? And he was just like something else. But it took him that length of time, speaking to him now. I mean, he's in his mid-20s now, late 20s. And I'm speaking to him now and he's going, David, he said, my confidence was just shot to pieces.
Yeah, that's mad, isn't it?
Leaving it. He said, but then I've come back in and he never ever got to a stage where he went back to a pro club and everything. I think the experience probably scarred him a little bit, but phenomenal football player. Do you know what I mean? But it took that long for him to actually get back to where he was.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like you say, some of them come and go, don't they? Their form, and some of them have these mad growth spurts, and they look like a quality little player, and then suddenly they've struggled for a season, and then they go again. I also think one thing I always felt wherever I went, whenever I played in a better team, your standard increases, and it either does that or you drop out, and you know that ain't the level for you. It's not good enough. I do believe a lot of players have a level. You know, and we see it even at us at step three. You think, right, he's a decent player. He might go on another, you know, he might go into step two, or some of them you look and you think, it's probably a bit hard for him in here at this step. He's probably worth dropping down to step four. But then you do see some, especially the younger lads, they develop back in again. But I feel sorry for the academy lads. I do feel like some of them come out so heartbroken when they come out, and they've been in it for a long while, and they come out at 17, 18, and they're suddenly playing in the Ryman Prem, or Ischia Prem. Ryman Prem, where did that come from? Ischia Prem, Kelly would tell me off. Yeah, you know, and they struggle, and you think, and it's just, they don't adjust, and then you suddenly see them 2 years later, and they're playing for step five, step six. They've come out of an Arsenal, a Tottenham, you know. It is hard. It's a bit of a numbers game, that academy, isn't it? They don't want to miss out on that one gem, so they do load it up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So from that cup win, I mean, where did young Sam go from there?
So, where did we go? Right. So we went into men's football from that youth team. So we went into under eight. We went from under 18s into men's football, and it was carnage. It was carnage. Like Sunday morning men's football from playing Sunday morning junior football, and every team we played were like these pub fellas, and we were all young, fit fellas, and we were beating them, and doing really well in that men's football. But every week it turned into a brawl. And I just remember thinking, what is this all about? Like, surely this is not it. This is where football career is going, is we're having a tear up every week. And I think it got harder and harder for Gene, the manager. And we kind of all ended up going our separate ways. I ended up playing for my brother, was playing for a pub team when I played for them. And I was about 17, 18. And then a lad who played on the Sunday said to me, oh, I run a Saturday team. It was a weird name. What were they called? It was an Argentinian, a River Plate. Called River Plate, played in the South London Alliance, and I went in there and I loved it. I played a good full season there, and it was a decent enough standard. But and that's where I got seen playing, and the lad of Geezer referred me down to Fisher, who at the time I think it was either 89-90 or 90-91, and I went down there. They were in the National League, Fisher. So I went there, was in the reserves. Eddie Davis was my manager. And he then got the Craig job the following year. So a lot of us young lads that were playing in the reserves down at Fisher, I was never going to get into that first team. That was National League. It was such a big step. We was playing in the second division. The Kent League used to have a second division for reserve teams. So I was playing down in there. And then, like I say, Eddie, because he got the first team job at Craig, we went with him. And yeah, no, I had Eddie, oh, he still comes to Cray. He's lovely, Eddie. He's a good lad. And he always says, I played two cup finals for him. I scored the winner in both of them. So one was for Fisher. It was ironic. We played Beckenham in the final. It was the Winston League, Kent League, Division Two, like Reserve League cup final. It was Beckenham against Fisher. And they played the final on a bank holiday Monday down at Shepley's old ground on the Isle of Shepley. And everyone was moaning because obviously two clubs from up in London have got to go all the way down there. But yeah, we beat them 2-1. Scored the winner. And then I did the same again for Cray for him a few years later in the Kent Senior final down at the Chills. We beat Whitstable 1-0. So, yeah.
I mean, what was that like playing down, playing at somewhere like, Gillingham? What was that like to playing there?
Yeah, it was brilliant back then because, like, towards the end of the season, most of the pitches at our level back then were pretty dire, like dust bowls and bobbly. And I remember us getting down there on the day, and the pitch was beautiful. You know, everyone got a bit caught out. I think some people only had their moulds because we'd been playing on pitches that were rock hard, and it had been watered, and it was really, really good. And we were massive underdogs. We were like second, third bottom in the league. We just had this mad cup run to get through to the final. And Whitstable were like the hot shots. They had this lad, Rashid, I think it was Rashid Short, up front, was scoring bundles of goals for them. And we ended up winning it 1-0. We shut them out. I went up for a corner, was playing right back, went up for a corner and got me nut on the end of one, and yeah, that's gone down in history at the club. I've probably over milked it over the years.
So I mean, was it just carry on playing? Well, I mean, at this stage, what is you're now at Cray then, yeah?
Yeah, so
Playing.
yeah, I think it was a season. I went to Fisher halfway through a season, and I did a full season with them, and then in their reserves, and then we all moved over. Like probably not 8 or 9 of us come over with Ed, and we were playing down at Oxford Road on the old famous slopey pitch. And then yeah, Cray. I think it was 91, 92. I come at Cray, and then the following season was when we won that cup, the 92, 93, and then that was it. I stayed at Cray, played in a variety of positions. I always wanted to be centre mid, but I was the ultimate bloody utility player. And when you look back, any player, I always say, stamp your mark on a position because you don't want to be that utility player. You end up playing right back, centre mid, centre half. I played up front a few times, and like I say, I end up in bloody goal a few times. And so played more or less all through the 90s at Cray, and then Jenko got a job, my old mucker Jenko, who was a playing partner of mine at Cray all through the years. And I was kind of coming to the end of the old first team career, really. And he got me to take over the reserves. So I ended up managing, player manager of the reserves for a few years. Like, I think it was all early 2000 till about 2003. And loved it. It was such a good, because it was getting to that point in the first team where I weren't always playing and I wanted to play. And going down into the resis, and we had a mixture of a few of the older fellas that were first team would come with me. And we found some brilliant young players, like brilliant young players. The whole thing was going out and trying to find lads locally that were decent. And we won loads in that reserve team. We won, done a double twice. Yeah, it was a great time. I really enjoyed that. And it was a tough time for me for football. I lost my old man the last season I was there. So he was going through a battle with cancer. And it really helped me, I think, having that football family.
Were Cray Wanderers sort of still nomad? Were they nomads then, or did they have their own ground then?
No, we were nomads. Oxford Road wasn't ours. It was on the back of a conservative club. So I'd gone from Grassmead to the Cons Club and had been there a while. And then when Jenko picked up. Oh, right, no worries. Sorry, Dave. Did you need me for anything for you? Have you seen that meeting tomorrow?
I did see that.
Can you do that? And Rosie.
Oh, yeah, I think that makes
We do a
sense.
little hand up, yeah. Hand up. All right, cheers. Sorry about that. Where was we?
Just talking about being nomads, and you saying about the ground not being crazy.
So nomads, and then Jenko done really well. Obviously won the league, and we couldn't go up. There was a yeah, or no, it was Kent League. He didn't win the league. It was Kent League brought in the floodlight rule, and we couldn't get floodlights down at Oxford Road. The local residents objected, even though it really wouldn't have impacted them. But probably done us the biggest favour going, because we ended up with the Bromley ground share, which was going to be, I think it was initially a 5-year deal with a view that we were going to build our ground or get sorted out. And then 26 years later, it finally happened. But
But going into there then, we're Cray sort of still sort of Kent League then.
no, we got promoted in the Isthmian Prem, and it was ironic. They were in that league as well, Bromley, at the time. So with the first season there, 98, they was in the same league as us. And we had the biggest crowd there that season. And you look obviously what they've done now, it's an unbelievable outfit over there. You can't help but admire what they've done. It's fantastic achievement. And the facilities are unreal. I was over there a couple of Sundays ago watching our under 16s beat their under 16s in the semi-final, which was nice. But they've got pitches out the back. It's a proper football league. It's better than most football league grounds, I would have thought, at their level. Fantastic facilities, and testament to Robin and Ammo and the boys over there. What they've done is, if that isn't an aspiration of any club locally to do what they've done, then. But yeah, no, back then they were nothing like that. It was a pretty dire old ground. Pitch weren't great. They used to have all the old Sunday League Cup finals on there, and like everyone used to moan about getting to the final because you had to go and play at Bromley, and the pitch was terrible.
I mean, I've been over there a couple of times when I think when Arlo played Cray and that, but especially with when they'd done it, all the new clubhouse and stuff like that, it was a phenomenal place. But I mean, so you're sort of over there, are you still sort of managing the reserves?
So when they went over there, that was the kind of where it all started going a bit backwards for me. Like, I weren't really getting in the team, and I think that's when I kind of looked at it and thought, well, I'm not going to play much here. And then the opportunity come to take the Reses over. And they were still playing at Oxford Road. So I stayed down at Oxford Road. And one good thing about Oxford Road is the clubhouse was the nuts. The Cons Club there, cheap beer. You know, all the lads loved the booze. It was a bit of a, we had a really good social side to the club as well. So we win or lose, we had a booze, that's for sure. But we won more than we lost. You know, I biggest one for me, and he knows I love him anyway. He's like a son I never had. I've got three daughters, but Sammy Wood, who went on to have a phenomenal career. Let me just get rid of him. Yeah, Sammy Wood. I was playing a Vets game on a Sunday morning with some of my pals over at Long Lane, local like youth football club. And as I was coming off my game, there's a game going on. I knew Sammy's dad, David Wood, and we stand there watching, having a chat with him. And he was exceptional. Him and Rossy Lover, two great players. And I think they were under 16s or under 17s. I said to him, like, "What's he doing next season?" Like, and he said, "Oh, he wants to get into men's football." So I took him. He was 15. He was right, the right to the league to get him to play in the pre-season games because he was still 15. And obviously he'd come in and was brilliant for us. Him and Ross were great. And he's gone on and had a fantastic career in the EFL. You know, he went from us to Bromley, Bromley at Brentford. And yeah, I've enjoyed following his career. I followed him all around, went to watch him on loan at Rotherham on a Tuesday night, you know, up at the Don Valley Stadium. But and then he come full circle back to Cray, which was lovely a couple of seasons ago. So yeah, it was good. It was good. And Charlie Vines, great goal scorer. He was in my team. Lewis Wood ended up great goal scorer for the club. Like, we had a lot of good young lads that blended in well with some of the older boys. And yeah, I probably my fondest time in football was that reserve spell.
I mean, we'd say with that, I was just looking. Apologies to anybody can hear noise in the background. It's because I've got somebody taking down asbestos next door. So, but apologies. But I mean, with it though, I mean, how long did you stay on for reserve manager for?
I think I did three full seasons down there, and then I think halfway through the next one, I went. It was, I think it was on the back. I mean, I lost my dad. I mean, I had a quite a stressful job at the time in a leisure game, and it was getting awkward as well. Every week, sometimes we'd get down Oxford Road, and the pitch wouldn't lined out properly, and it was just, yeah, it didn't feel like the first team was doing so well, and it does happen in football. The first team was flying. Like Jenks has done a great job, and it just felt like it weren't that same. We were feeding players through, and it was a bit of a good pathway. And then it just didn't feel like it was quite that same dynamic. But always kept, you know, whenever I could, I started playing a bit of Vets football then. I thought, you know, I'm going to just go and enjoy a bit of football myself. So I went and played with some of my old pals, went back, played a lovely few seasons in the old Vets League. And then, yeah, say so I'd done my cruciate at 38 playing Vets football. So I had a couple of seasons out. And then decided to go again in 40, when I was 40.
How did you do your cruciate?
Playing, yeah, I was playing. Mate, it was the worst thing. I remember I planted my left foot to try and get a shot away, and it was sitting up the ball. And as I've tried to get up like that, I just remember thinking, my leg's just gone in a direction it shouldn't have gone in. Your knee goes forward and backwards, doesn't it? And it went left. It just went out there, and it was horrible noise. And I didn't fully do it. Apparently, I thought I had, but I went and had it all tested. It was partially torn, and then I give it about 6 weeks, and I'm back playing football on a Sunday morning Vets game because I'm a nightmare. I'm one of them. If someone rings and says, "Oh, there's a game you fancy," we're a bit short. I'm up for it. I'm always coming and have a game. And went and played, and I shouldn't have. It was still partially torn, and then I tore it completely. So yeah, it was a bit of a nightmare. So a couple of years out, had it all reconstructed. Brilliant job, and yeah, come back and got going again.
So, I mean, with it though, with the Vets and stuff, I mean, how long did you carry on playing for them?
I'm still playing Vets last
Right,
summer.
okay.
55 now, so still playing. This season's been a nightmare. I've had real bad problems with my back. I thought it was sciatica, and it's unfortunately turned into a bit worse than that. And I've got this vertebrae issue. I'm going in next Tuesday for a big major operation on my spine. So I've got double surgery on the 1st and the 8th of April. Going to be in hospital for a few weeks up at Guy's. So I've really missed. It's mad that I've missed football. And even the surgeon the other week, I'm there with my wife, and he's saying, like, you know, what's your aspirations? And I said, well, I want to get back playing football. And he looked at me like I was a lunatic. And I said, is it possible? Like, is it? And if it is, I will. That's how much I love it. And I think our walking football's getting big now. I end up in that department as well. So, but it, I did have an, I had a little, so yeah, I didn't do a lot with Cray for a few years, but then it was the 150th anniversary of the club. And I remember going to watch a game. It was like a big ceremonial game against Cropenhill, our local rivals, and down at the old rec where we used to play. And it kind of got me back involved with the club a little bit, going down there, and we ended up playing this tournament up in Sheffield. And I just got back from a cruciate, not long back from now. I was probably about 41, 42. And Jenko was still manager, obviously. And we got this game organised up in Sheffield. So they did the heritage match where they go up and play Sheffield FC and Hallam, two of the oldest clubs. It was like a triangular pre-season tournament. And I went up a day early with the chairman. It was a bit of a do. We stayed at Bramall Lane in the hotel there. So we've gone up on the booze on the Friday night. And Jenko rings me. He was on the way up there, funny enough. And chairman was on Talk Sport. I was doing an interview with him about this heritage tournament. Jenko rings up and says, "Right, you're gonna have to play in goal tomorrow." And I said, "What? So you're having a laugh?" I said, I'm not a goalie." He said, "Oh, you've been playing in goal with the vets, haven't you, since you come back from your knee?" And he said, "The keeper's just run me. He's got to work. He can't get out of it. I can't get anyone. You're going to have to go and goal." So I've gone, "All right, mate. I'll do it." Ended up playing in goal for the whole tournament. And we won it on penalties. I've saved a penalty in a penalty shootout. So I had my little hero moment back, coming back into the Cray. It was a brilliant weekend. Really, really good weekend.
So where did the situation start then of you becoming, sort of, shall we say, more senior involved in, with Crow? How did that all sort of come about?
So it's been an ongoing thing. So my background was leisure. So I was a regional manager. I was a leisure centre manager. I used to run leisure centres. I've been working for this company like 30 odd years. GLL, big leisure provider around the UK. They originally was like a council leisure provider. So I ended up growing with them over the years, and I've become a regional manager. So I was operating 17, 18 leisure centres, juggling a lot of business, £13 million worth of business. And Gary used to always say to me, "Look, if I pull it off and I get the planning for this new stadium," and it weren't just Flamingo, this was at another site as well, "would you come in and do it, run it, like be the business acumen side of it, like run it as a CEO type of character?" And I used to always say yes, thinking, "Well, this is never happening," because it was never happening. And he said to me, when was it, 2018, "I've got the planning permission, you still up for it?" And I remember thinking, "Shit, what do I do?" Because I was a council worker when I started in that leisure game. So I had this solid pension with the council. It was a steady job. But this was an opportunity of a lifetime, really, for a club that I've always loved. And I just thought, you know what? I remember going home talking to the wife, and she said, "Look, why don't you go for it? What you got to lose?" So yeah, got involved. 2018. I did it part-time for a little while. Just as we was bedding in and seeing what was going to happen, and then I went full time from April 2019. Actually, it's gone full circle because I started on the 1st of April 2019, and I'm going to end on the 31st of March 2025. So it's been a full kind of circle movement for me with the club, and I'll be honest with you, I've loved every minute, absolutely loved every minute of it, and it will definitely be a bit emotional on Saturday.
So talk us through your time then as sort of CEO there, though, because I mean, I know I spoke to Gary on the, you mentioned it earlier on, the Ryman, when we were sort of, my Monday show was called the Ryman Roundup Show originally, and I remember Gary coming on and talking about how he wants to try and find a home and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That was probably, I don't know, maybe even up to 13 years ago. Do you know what I mean? When we first started doing all the shows and stuff. So, I mean, what was it like working in? Who was manager at the time when you was in there?
So I come in, it was Tony Russell, was doing really well. We got promoted, I think it was 2019 we got promoted, wasn't it? So the 2018-19, so that first season we got promoted out of the Isthmian South East, playing some great football, really good time. But we were desperate to get out of Bromley. It was, and it felt like it was happening. And unfortunately, I suppose, and that was, I know that was a frustration probably for Tony, is that we kept selling the dream to players, to him, to everyone, that next season we'll be in at Flamingo Park. We've got it now. We're in there. But it never panned out that way. You know, we had load of little minor planning issues. So once you get planning, you're sorted, you can get cracking. But then you've got a lot of stuff to sign off, all this S106 stuff. And I remember back in the leisure, I was on a project at Hackney Marshes when I was working for the leisure company. We built a lovely new facility over on Hackney Marshes. And well, that got delayed. And that got delayed because apparently we were going to disturb the newts, the local newt population in the River Lee. You know, with the building work, and it's those kind of things that you don't always see from the outside in. You just see a delay, but there is a lot of hurdles you have to get through. And unfortunately, that is what happened. Basically, is why it took so long. Is that, and then COVID come along. You know, there's been a number, and a fair play to the directors that they just kept going resiliently, trying to get it off the ground. So yeah, no, it's been. And then what happened? We had the lockdown. And I think it all got a bit frustrating. And then Tony went, and we had a bit of a up and down season. Went through three managers, you know, and that's all learning curve for me as well. You know, when you've got to sit a manager down, and as the CEO, you do build a relationship with the management team. You know, it's you and them really, and you're the buffer between them and the director team. And yeah, it's tough. Like Danny Kedwell, what a lovely fella. You know, great, great non-league player. You know, fantastic footballer, and he was cutting his teeth. We took a bit of a gamble, and I loved every minute working with him. You know, and then you've got to let him go, and you've got to sit him down, and it's a tough decision. And then we had Grant in, and then Smudge. Obviously, Smudge has been an absolute delight to work with. You know what he's like. He's such a big character. You can hear him before you see him everywhere you go.
But I mean, what were some of the highlights? I mean, in that sort of what was it, 7 year period? Is it 7 years, 8 years period? I mean, what is, I mean, what is, what would you say is, is Sam's sort of highlights plan wise?
Right. So my biggest single highlight is what we've done with the youth section. You know, I love the first team. I love it. It's brilliant. You know, you can't beat that going around and following the first team. But I always feel like the analogy I often use, you've got a big cupcake. It's a big fat cupcake. And the first team is just the cherry that sits on the top. It's all it is. It's that bit on the top. That bit underneath, that cake, is all them little under sevens, under eights, under nines, under ten, all that development football. And watching that grow here, we're very fortunate at Flamingo Park that we've got 20 acres. We've got grass pitches one side of the pavilion and the stadium's in at the other side. And on a Sunday morning, you know, it is absolutely fantastic. Oh, I'm getting low battery mode. I'm getting low battery there. Sorry, mate. Now, Sunday mornings to watch all them Craig boys out there in their shirts and girls as well. We had 12 youth teams playing in three different facilities locally, and we've now got 43 teams, girls and boys, you know, all playing out at Flamingo Park. And if ultimately that is my biggest success and hopefully the kind of strongest legacy that I leave at the football club.
But what was it like when you actually got that sort of final sort of permission to go to Flamingo Park? I mean, yourself, Gary, I mean, what was that actually sort of like? Because you were probably the driving forces behind it with the directors to get in there. So, I mean, what was that finally like to see everything be ticked off and see it all coming together? I mean, you came on the show and showed us what it looked like at the very beginning. And, I've not had the privilege of getting up there yet. But, I mean, what was that actually physically like for you guys? It must have been such a relief.
Oh, it was fantastic, mate. Absolutely fantastic. And it's weird because I'm gonna run downstairs while we're on the Zoom, right? Because I'm gonna run out of battery otherwise, and I'll do the rest from down there in the office. But
You're good, mate.
yeah, it's a weird feeling because that night was so good, but then there's that low afterwards where you're then trying to pull it all together, physically getting in there, and that's been a bit tough, I think. And along the way, people have dropped off. We've lost a few people along the way because they haven't been kind of robust enough to get through it. And it is still a bit of a weird old building, you know. This pavilion is an old lap dancing club, and it is still a work in progress. But we desperately needed to be in this ground to be sustainable as a football club. All right, sorry, Dave, I'm gonna
Now, go
quickly
on.
whack my charger in. And we'll be dropping them all there. Unreal. And technology, eh? Where would we be without our mobile phones? Right, I'm back. I'm up and running.
But yeah, I mean, it must be, phenomenal for, as you were saying, to see the amount of people that are, participating in football and other stuff that, inside your own club.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. In fact, coming in here, right, it's good because this is like the hub. So that up there, I don't know if you can see it. You probably can't because I think I've got the old. Can you see that map? So that's been my kind of master plan of how do we build a new supporter base because our average crowds were pretty poor, and we'd lost our identity locally being over at Bromley for so long, and engagement with the local people was so important to get the numbers up. And last Saturday we were playing Bowers, who unfortunately got relegated on the back of the result, but they didn't exactly bring loads with them. We had over 700 in the ground. So it is a real success, season one, in relation to building that fan base. And I think the important thing for the club moving forward, and hopefully whoever it is who picks up the reins does it, is trying to keep that engagement with that youth section to pull them through. Because I think one thing I've noticed with Bromley, and you're going to learn from that experience, is they've got a great young fan base now as well. Like we were London's oldest football club, and we probably had London's oldest fan base as well. When we was over there, and a lot of the youngsters that go Bromley, they were kids that play football for Bromley at a junior level, and they've got that love for the football club on the back of it. And I think there's a great opportunity for the guys here to do that. Exactly the same with Gray.
I mean, I've got to ask you about two other people, that, sort of been a big part of your life as Craig, especially one of them sort of, I suppose, in the later part of your CEO ownership of the club. And that is, of course, Smudger, who we spoke about briefly up when he was upstairs. And, I'd love to know how that sort of came about. How did it come about? You managed to get somebody that was, a TV star, as I say to him often when I see him, on BT Sport doing his
Oh,
bits
listen,
on there.
don't rub his ego up much more, please. No, he's a lot, he loves it, doesn't he? He absolutely loves it. It was a bit of a coup, and fair play. I think Gary was stalking him to an extent when he got released by Bromley, and I think he couldn't come back into football for a while, whatever the deal was with them. I think there was a period of time he had to wait, and I think Gary was quite patient around trying to keep in touch with him. And the project here was sold to him. What they have got is a fantastic opportunity, at this football club. And I really do hope they can push on and make it all happen how it's meant to happen, the phasing that we've spoke about. And I think Smudge was fully invested in that. And I think to get someone of his calibre that right, managed to that National League level, taken Bromley to Wembley in the trophy. It was a massive coup for the club. There's no doubt about it. First full-time manager we've ever had as well, because we was trying to get the academy off the ground as well. So, yeah, it was, I think it was, a lot of people probably couldn't get their head around him coming into us, but he fully was invested in the project.
I mean, to say how he invested he was, and I might get the country wrong, so I'm apologies to Smudge if that's the case. I think it was last year or the year before, there was a game. He'd just been on the show, I think, a couple of weeks pre. You'd all been on the show a couple of weeks previous to that, and he was he turned up at Enfield Town for a game, and he'd literally just got off the plane because he went to see his daughter. I think he was either Croatia or Turkey or somewhere like that. In a competition, and came straight from the airport, straight, fully suntanned from top to bottom, and turned up in his t-shirt and shorts to manage the team against Enfield Town. I mean, that's
That's
just
him.
promotion
That's him
for
all
him.
over. That was that season we nearly went down, wasn't it? That day was unreal. That little young Nathan Boma. What a performance that was. You talk about like
And
that.
I just seen recently as well that he's a free agent as well. Well,
Yeah, I
how's that
know.
happened?
Oh, mate, I don't. It was an unbelievable. I feel so sorry for him because Enfield get a few behind the goal, didn't they? They were really giving him some. I went round behind the goal. I thought I've got to go behind the goal just so
I
he can
mean,
see a friendly face.
tell everybody that don't know what actually physically happened, because there's a lot of people with that, because people won't know who the young lad was and how old he was, etc.,
Yeah.
etc. So tell us a little bit about that day, because that was incredible.
Yeah. So we were in a tight relegation battle right to the end that season. And the keeper got injured. So we'd had a couple of keepers in and out through the season, and the keeper got injured, and then the replacement keeper got injured. Like in the space of a week, they both were injured, but out for the season injured. And we'd gone past the date when you can sign a player. So the cut-off was done. We wrote to the league and said, look, please, like, can we get, because that's another funny one for me. Jenko re-signed me at about 48 to go and play a game at Greenwich Borough in goal because a similar thing happened and they let him do it. But the Eastman League said, no, you've got goalkeepers registered. You've got to play your under-18 keeper. And Nathan was our under-18 keeper at the time, 16 years old. And I think you interviewed him. He couldn't have looked more fresh out of school. One of the midweek games at the end of the season, he turned up in his school uniform.
He looked like something straight out of Grange Hill.
Yeah, he really did. And he pulled off two of the best saves I've ever seen in that game. And ultimately, we stayed up on goal difference. That point we got there in that 3-3 draw, I think it was, that point kept us up. And he made the one from the free kick was unreal. The tip over, but the one right at the end, Jake Cash spun and hit one, and it looked like it had gone past him, and he got down one-handed and it stuck, and it, that ultimately we're going down if he hadn't have had that performance. So, yeah, he that was unreal.
And
But yeah,
going.
going back to Smudge, weren't we? We was talking about Smudge. Like, he did. He rocked up there for them last six games, I think it was, and. We had a good laugh. We have had a lot of good laughs over the time, right? But we were bad. We weren't a great side that last one. We managed to scrape out of it. And then he had the opportunity. I remember him in training trying to do a drill with him, really, I think in the first session. And he said to me afterwards, he said, right, I didn't realise how bad they are. He said, I'm trying to do it. And in the end, I watched the next session and he literally was getting them to just anything to come in the box, whack it. And it was like the whole session was just whack it. Whack it out, whack it over there, like, because we kept conceding goals from trying to play, and it was interesting. But then we had pre-season the next season. He's had a chance to build. We had a fantastic trip out of Jersey, and it was brilliant. Like, we went out there, had a great pre-season, and we were dreadful. And I remember him saying to me on the Saturday night, he went, I didn't think I could make this team worse, but I think I have. But fair play that season, we ended up in the playoffs. So he turned it around, built a squad, and that was another probably high. That's another high on my time of doing this, was getting in that semi-final over at Hornchurch, and unfortunately losing it on penalties. It's fine margins, isn't it, in football?
I mean, and again, and before I go on to the last person I wanted to talk to you about, I mean, the blow for Gary must be massive for him, losing his big confidant in yourself, and then losing sort of like probably, and let's be honest, probably the best manager in the Isthmian Prem. They're all going to, both going in a short space of time. Must be quite a big blow for the club. And I know Tosh is, as we speak, we're talking actually on non-league deadline day today. But I mean, it must be, Tosh has got big boots to fill, but I think he's the man that can do it, hasn't he?
Yeah, he wants it. He wants it bad. And it was emotional, sadly. It was lovely. I had a good cuddle with him just before the kickoff. As he went out, we had a little hug. And it's a weird time with me leaving. And we ain't just lost Smudge and me. Like, we've lost a couple of other key people. We had a lad, Dino, who was brilliant behind the catering side of things for us. He was like a real good energy in and around the club. He's gone. We've lost Stacey, who was integral to the youth section. So there's been quite a lot of movement at the club. And, they say a change is good at times, and I really hope it is for the club. But yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm never going to speak ill of this football club because I love it too
No.
much. But yeah, there's certain things at the club that maybe haven't stacked too well with me, and they have helped me make my decision, and possibly maybe helped other people make that decision.
Well, it's one other person I've got to speak about, because in this crazy world of non-league football, and I've been involved in it for 14, 15 years, it's probably, I don't know. Can probably count them on both hands, people that I've got a lot of time for in this game, and you're one of them, as well as Smudger as well. But there is one other person at your club, and She's probably one of the top ones, and that's giving it away already who it is.
Mate, I'm
But
gonna be. Me and her are gonna have a
Ali,
tear. We're gonna have
yeah,
a tear. I know we are.
Ali is, well, he's probably one of the most sensational people I think I've ever met in non-league football, and I think she underestimates herself of what she means to people in the non-league game, even to the extent of we had chats before when I said to her she needed to go and apply back for the Craig physio's job and all the rest of it. And I text all the time saying, when I see professional physio jobs come up, why are you not applying for them? Because she's that good. I mean, what is she, from a personal, from a CEO, from not as a mate, but as a CEO point of view? I mean, how sort of big was that to get somebody of her quality back at, back in at Cray?
You know what? Fundamentally, with Ali, she is a beautiful person.
Mm.
Right? She's just got. There's something about her in there that she's just so lovely. She's just such a really lovely girl, ultimately. And her mum and dad are lovely.
Yeah,
The
absolutely.
family is just a beautiful family. And I think that just oozes out of Ali. And she's a great physio. She's brilliant. She's probably too caring sometimes with these boys. I tell you, the amount of sweets she supplies them and all the other stuff. Mind you, I do slip in there. I know where she stashes them as well. I know where she keeps her stash in the physio room. So I do have a little raid up. But yeah, no. She, honestly, that's gonna be tough Saturday saying goodbye to Ali.
I mean, so she's just as you say. I mean, on a personal level, then, I mean, I've seen, the amount of, let's be honest, she's saved quite a few people's lives as well in when she's been doing what she's been doing as well. But I mean, again, I mean, when you first met sort of met Ali the first time, I mean, what sort of, tell us a little bit about her as such.
Yeah, so she was here when she was Tone, and I think she'd been with Tone previously. And I think it was a tough decision for her when Tone left, and she didn't. She went over to Barking, didn't she? She went over to the old wrong side of the river for a little while. I just think you cut straight away when you meet her. There's just something so personable about her. She's just such a lovely person. And honestly, I've had some great physios over the year and some real characters. We're in the bit between not having Ali here and then coming back, we had Emily. Emily's a character. She's a whole new ball game, isn't she? Like, you know what I mean?
So Emily, I know her well as well. I mean, again, a lovely, lovely lady. You know, I mean, you know, t top quality lady as well. I mean, but there's, what that you've almost got like chalk and cheese with them, haven't you? The way
Oh, mate.
they
You
are,
couldn't. She's so active in the dugout, like old Emily. She's more or less your second manager. She's out there shouting and screaming, and we had, funny enough, a game, my life in football, whipping it back, right? That game, I mentioned it briefly earlier when Jenko called me out of retirement. It was Greenwich Borough were playing Cray Valley, and it was the final game of the season. And he signed me on the Wednesday night because they let him because he had no keeper. And I've gone and played, and 15, 20 minutes into the game, ball over the top. I've come out and their centre forward's coming through and I've just got there before him and he's absolutely smashed me. Like, literally, absolutely smashed. I remember thinking, oh my God, I think he might have broke my leg. He's gone right through my shin, ripped all my sock, gone down. I've jumped up going mad. We've had a little scuffle. And then this gobby Irish girl comes staring on the pitch, giving it to me. And that was my first ever meeting, right, with Emily. And I didn't put two and two together when she came to the club. And then we ended up having a bit of banter about it. And
Oh,
she
she's
was
brilliant.
telling me, he ain't touched her. I mean, socks all ripped up. He got
But she's
sent.
brilliant. I mean, I still remember, and I can't remember the actual words, but I remember when she came down. I think it was with Cray and to Harlow, and of course, Harlow got all those sort of manic fans behind the back of the dugouts. They're actually, oh, they're giving her so much stick. I mean, it was brilliant, but she was giving it back to him as well, and it was just a fantastic time. But she's again just like Ali and the different types, as you say. But they are lovely, two lovely
They're
girls.
both great. And Emily still does a little bit of work up here. She works out of here a little bit and helps some people out. And she'll always step in and help us. But yeah, Ali, just such, like, honestly, you can't say enough about what a lovely girl she is. And I'll definitely miss Ali. I've got a little couple of things possibly coming up in football, and I've already tried to talk to her about what she's doing if she ever leaves Cray. So, but she loves it here. She loves the club, and she loves Tosh. Tosh has been the saving grace, I think. She's had She said she's not accepting that I'm leaving until I actually leave. And then with Smudge going suddenly, like last week, it's been tough for her, I know. But yeah, I absolutely love Alex. Great girl.
So the other question I've got for you though is how comes we've gone 50 minutes, 55 minutes chatting and we haven't mentioned Herbalife once?
Mate, you know that. I don't like to mix the two things. You know, that is my passion outside of football, is helping people to sustain an healthy lifestyle. And it's been a game changer for me, and I just like sharing the love. It's the good thing is I'm going there. It's been a lot of people have tried to push a bit of a narrative around me leaving this football club, around my business and starting a nutrition club and my wife. It's absolutely nothing to do with that. It's my wife's business, and it's a business that I love helping her with. It's open from 6:30 in the morning and it closes at 11 a.m. So there's not much happening at a non-league football club between 6:30 in the morning and 11 a.m. So that one narrative is totally off the radar. And anyone who is listening to this and has been sold that narrative, because I've had so many people going, "Oh, good luck with your new business." It's not why I'm leaving the football club. And also, it's not because of my back. I am going in with this spine surgery, and April's going to be a bit of a write-off for me. But those narratives are wrong. And I'm glad you mentioned Herbalife. But listen, mate, one of these days I'll get you to try one of them beautiful, nutritious snakes.
Do you know
Shake.
what? I used to be on Herbalife before, and I've
Right.
actually used it with a gentleman called Sam West.
Yes,
You know Sam? If I find a picture, I'll send it to you. And I went from 13, I think I went from 13 and a half stone, and I got down to I think about 11 stone 10 with it. And then of course I came off it a little bit because the wife said I looked like somebody that hadn't eaten for about 4 weeks.
Oh,
Come out
don't,
of
mate. That
concentration camp, you know? That was the
drives me
problem.
mad, that, you know that. Like when I was when you see my before photos, right, I was in a right mess. And a lot of it was stress, working in a high-powered job, eating a lot of rubbish. At that point, not one of my friends ever questioned my lifestyle. They never said to me, "Righty, I think you're drinking too much. You eat too many takeaways. You eat too much crap." Now I take a smoothie in the morning and take a few supplements. Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone wants to talk to me about it and diss it. You know, where were they when I needed them?
But I'll try and find a picture and send it over to him. But yeah, I
I'd
mean,
love to see that, Dave. I'd love to see that.
it was fantastic stuff. And I can't, say and recommend it anymore for people that need that sort of side of it. But so as we come to the end of this, so Sam, I mean, you say you're going into your husband, and we wish you all the very, very best with that. But I mean, what is the future for yourself that you can tell us about?
The immediate future is definitely getting through this next month, getting through April, getting my recovery in. And it's quite tough. I think it's 10, 12 weeks of quite tough recovery, and then up to 12 months to be fully functional again. But I love football. Hopefully that's come across in here. You know, I love playing the game. I love being in and around the game. And I have got a couple of opportunities. One really standout opportunity that I'm very close to agreeing with the chairman on, and it would be I think it'd be a good fit for me, for them, and I think we could do some good things together. And there's no youth section at this football club either at the moment, and that is something we're definitely going to change if I go and get involved, and we're going to start building from the bottom. And I'm quite excited about it. It's one of them. I can't really go in any detail other than that, but yeah. I think watch this space, it will soon transpire. But I wasn't leaving with that. And it's been, do you know what has been nice? The amount of people that have reached out to me and said, "What are you doing? You know, don't leave football. Don't come out of the game." So I've enjoyed my time on the board. You know, that has been a learning curve for me as well, being on the Isthmian League board. And so, yeah, no, I think there's a route back in, and I think probably get me head down, get through my recovery, and then we'll see where we go from there.
No, happy days. I'm going to talk to you a bit more about that in a second, actually, once we come off air, because you've just told me something that I didn't know. I didn't realise you was on the Eastman League board.
First Craig person to go on there. I went three, I think I've been on there 3 seasons now. So,
Day.
yeah, I felt like we was always getting in a bit of bother, and it felt like all these clubs that are in and around the board seemed to always be all right. And so it's probably the wrong intentions that I went on there, but it's been, you know, it's really eye-opening. And you know, the likes of Nick and Kelly, you know, the work they do to try and keep the league and even the Trident League and keeping it all together. You know, Because it is a bit tough, the non-league system, isn't it? You
Yeah,
know,
absolutely.
let's not beat about the bush. The National League, you know, step one, step two are the elite part of it. And the guys do such a good job to make sure that the Isthmian League are not forgotten. You know, they do a lot of hard work and take me off to them. It's been very, very, as I said, it's been an eye-opener to see how it all kind of works.
Happy day. Well, listen, mate, we really appreciate you joining us today. And we do wish you all the very, very best for the future. And of course, thank you for watching, for everybody else that's watching tonight. And of course, we'll be back with another episode of My Life in Football Season 4 very soon. But from me and from Sam, just like to say thank you for watching and
Yeah,
good night.
cheers. Cheers, Dave.